the most important yardstick by which a church can be measured. It's not how large it is. It's not how good its fellowship is. It's not how interesting the pastor is. It's not how good the music is or how respected it is in the community. The most important measure of any church is how it handles the Word of God.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of Ephesians. The message today is titled, What is a Worthy Walk? Well, let's find out. Here's Pastor Bill.
Turn within your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to cover just the first six verses this morning. Remember that Ephesians, as we return, now last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday, and before that was Palm Sunday, but it seems to me it was like years ago that we've been out of Ephesians. And so as we return to it, Ephesians is a great study. It's been called the greatest piece of writing in all of history. And guess where it was written from? A prison cell by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Apostle Paul. Remember, as we just do a quick review, chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, they are purely doctrine. They teach us and have told us our position in the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are, the wealth that we possess, and they're perfectly purely doctrinal. But remember that doctrine not only establishes you, it leads you in the right direction, it keeps you in the right direction. Doctrine, loved one, it makes us stand. It makes us firm. We know what we believe in. We're not just wondering what we believe. We know what we believe. So we're firm and unshakable people. This morning, as we talk about what is a worthy walk, say that with me from home right now. What is a worthy walk? We're going to find out. Doctrine always, always comes first, not application. You don't know how to apply something if you don't know doctrine. So doctrine is absolutely vital. You can never reverse the order. It's doctrine first, then practice or application next. Now, we now have arrived from our position in Christ to our practice in chapters 4, 5, and 6. What a great study before us. And as we learn now what a worthy walk is and how to walk worthy of our calling, that high calling in Christ Jesus, then you know what happens? We start experiencing the wealth of our riches in Christ. And that's the wonder of it all. So for three incredible chapters, loved one, man, we have been in the heavenlies with Paul. But listen to me now. It's no different than like when Jesus and Peter, James, and John, remember when in Matthew's gospel, I think it's chapter 17, there is Jesus. He took them and led them up on the mount. We call that the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was transformed before them and they saw the glory and Elijah was there and Moses was there and they saw them and then they heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And what did Peter say? Oh, Lord, should we build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah? And then all of a sudden, the glory just departed. And guess what they had to do? Jesus then led them from the mountaintop all the way down into the valley. And what was the first thing they met? They met a father who was pleading, bringing his son, his little boy, to Jesus because he was demon-possessed. And the demon spirit was casting him into the fire and into the water and so forth. And the reason I said that, we have now come down from the mount too. We've come down out of the heavenlies. Now it's time for real living, real life. It's time to really learn how to walk worthy of our calling. Now listen, to know your position in Christ Jesus, chapter 1, 2, and 3, to know it, to believe it, listen, and then not put that into practice is total deception. And I know that's not what you're going to do. I know that you will put this into practice. So we know who we are in Christ. We know who we are. Therefore, we're going to go now and we're going to start boldly possessing what already belongs to us. We've learned it, chapter 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to start walking, and what is a worthy walk? Let's find out, beginning in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I pray your Bibles are open to that passage. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, past tense. So Paul, when he says, I therefore, he takes us all the way back again. He reminds us of the doctrine. He doesn't want us to forget that. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. And he says, here I am. I'm in a Roman cell. I'm chained to a guard. And he says, you know what? I miss my church. I'm away from the church. I'm away from my loved ones. He said, but you know what? I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm not a prisoner of Nero. I'm not a prisoner of the Jews. I'm not anyone's prisoner. I am the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that Paul's outlook is your outlook right now as you shelter in place, as you have to wear a mask to the store or whatever we're doing in this pandemic. Listen, you know, we are prisoners of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I thank God for that. We're not a prisoner of COVID-19 or anything else. And Paul uses a special word. He says, I therefore beseech you, brethren. That word beseech is the same word found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It's a beautiful word. It's a word of pleading, a word of urging, a word of entreaty, if you will, a word of exhortation. But it's not a harsh word. It's a tender word from a pastor's heart, Paul, from God the Father. It's an appeal from heaven. Now that Jesus has done all of these things for us, 1, 2, and 3 in Ephesians, he says, oh, listen, man, walk worthy of your calling. You know, Paul didn't use his apostolic authority. He didn't demand anything. Literally, you could read, I therefore beg you, please, to walk worthy. Now, with all that being said, the words Paul's therefore and the word beseech do something. It is an exhortation to walk out the doctrine. Loved one, this is so important. Doctrine is a good thing. Doctrine, we won't know what to do without doctrine, okay? So he says, I want you now, I'm begging you, I'm pleading you in love, walk out the doctrines that you have learned in chapters 1, 2, and 3, because doctrine is vital. Listen to Warren Wiersbe, who just recently went home to be with the Lord. Listen to what he said about doctrine. He says, the Christian life is not based on ignorance, but on knowledge. And the better we understand Bible doctrine, the easier it is to obey Bible duties. When people say, don't talk to me about doctrine, just let me live my Christian life, they are revealing their ignorance of the way the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. It makes no difference what you believe, just as long as you live right, they say. That's another similar confession of ignorance on their part. It does make a difference what you believe. I'm adding, you need to know what you believe. He says, but because what you believe determines how you behave, meaning in this life. Listen to me. If you don't embrace and understand biblical doctrine, you're going to miss out on the adventure. You're going to miss out on an exciting walk. Just like if the doctrine, the incredible, the greatest, one of the greatest doctrines in the Bible, justification by faith, where God, when here we come, Jesus be the Lord of my life, God in heaven says, okay, you are now justified, a fact, not a feeling, in my eyes, God says. Why? You've trusted in my Son, and in Him, you are now in Him. I impute or over into your account the spotless, perfect, sinless record of Jesus Christ, which can never be changed. His righteousness can never be changed. Well, if you don't understand that, then you're going to go through the life, am I really saved and do I really know the Lord? No, listen, it is time. Every believer, every Christian, listen to me now. It is time. If you're not walking worthy, man, you need time to walk worthy, because you can walk worthy. You can, by God's grace, by God's power. You can walk worthy because God has done something. Listen to me. Mom, Dad, the next time you have to leave home, The next time you have to leave home and get into your car and you drive to, well, I know, Mom, you go to Kroger or Albertson, wherever you shop, and you have to put on those gloves and you have to put on those masks and you've got Purell or whatever you call that in your car and in your purse and all the rest of it, and you walk into Kroger, you need to walk in just like this. You need to walk in and say, you know what, I'm going to walk worthy of my calling. You know why? Because God's done something. Ephesians 1:3, God, our Father, oh, the Father of our Lord Jesus, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies that are found in Christ Jesus our Lord. They belong to us right now. You have. You're not going to get it. It's a past fact. It is a present reality. I'm walking into Kroger. I got that mask on. My ears are a little tight, so it sticks my ears out. You know what I mean? And I, you know what? I walk in, and I say, hey, I know what the Bible says. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Listen, that's just not a promise. I possess them right now, and so do you. Past fact, present reality, loved one. It doesn't say one day you're going to be blessed. It doesn't say when you get to heaven you're going to be blessed. It says right now you're blessed. You walk into Kroger just like that. You can walk worthy of your calling because God's done something else. He chose you in him, meaning Jesus, before the foundation of the earth. Before, walk into Kroger that way. I'm getting ready to pick up, but God called me. He chose me. He picked me in Christ before the foundations of the earth, before time ever began, before the first fish ever flopped in the sea because there was no world. He chose me in eternity. And not only that, he has adopted you as a son and a daughter. Think of those things, who you really are. That's who you are right now. He's adopted you. In other words, he's taken you out of one family, Adam, and now transferred you over into his family, God's family. So not only are you blessed, not only are you chosen in him, not only are you adopted, the Bible says, remember, this is doctrine, you've been accepted in the beloved. There's nothing that you can do to be more accepted to God. Nothing. Not one thing. Because you're accepted in the beloved, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus Christ, his own son. Not only that, think back. Listen, you walk into Kroger, here you go, I'm redeemed. I've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I have forgiveness of sins. That's who you are. He's even let you know the mystery of his will. Think about that, his sacred secret. More than that, loved one, listen to me. We have obtained an inheritance. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee until to the very end. Not only that, we have access to God because we are his body. We were dead. Now we are alive. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We're his workmanship. We're one new man, and we are the dwelling place of God. We can walk worthy because of those doctrinal truths, if you believe them. If you act upon them. See, it's all by grace and it's all through the power of another. All you have to do is be obedient. And here's the scripture. It says here, we can walk worthy. Why? Because Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, all that we dare to ask, and or think according to the power that works in us. The power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. Oh, and here's the purpose. To him be glory. And listen to the location of in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. When you put those gloves on, when you put on that mask, when you put the Purell all over whatever the grocery shopping cart, whatever you do, know who you are. You walk worthy of your calling. You walk worthy of your calling right now in your own home, loved one. Oh, listen, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Verses 1 through 16 is that walk of unity. We're one, loved one. But the word walk, I mean, walk always is going to take you someplace. Walk implies progress. So if I start walking, I'm going someplace. Well, you know what? To walk means we're following the Lord. We're going down the narrow road that leads to life. So walk means progress, but worthy, to walk worthy, that word worthy is a beautiful, beautiful picture in the Greek language. It's literally two different things, okay? Two different things of the same weight. In other words, 5 pounds, 5 pounds. It's a picture of being perfectly, perfectly balanced. 5 and 5, perfectly balanced. Now, it means that it's like a set of scales, okay? So the way that you walk worthy, that I walk worthy, the way that we fulfill our calling in this life is to be, number one, equal in doctrine. Number two, equal in application. If you only know doctrine, and a lot of people, that's all they know. I love you. I'm not condemning you. But if you only know doctrine, okay, man, doctrine, 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 doctrine. I know all 66 books of the Bible, every doctrine in the Bible. But if you don't put that into practice, you're out of balance. You don't have a good walk at all. All you have knowledge, but you haven't ever applied it. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, the Bible says, deceiving yourselves. You have to hear and do. That is the perfect balance, and that's how we walk worthy of the Lord. You hear the word, you do the word. Now, to only know doctrine again and your position in Christ, and you don't apply it, you're completely out of balance. Matter of fact, you're not even walking. You're not going anywhere because you're just imbalanced in your walk. Spiritual maturity is never based on what you know. It's based on what you know and what you do with it. That makes you a worthy walk. It means that you, the believer, you now are a perfectly set of balanced scales. Loved one, listen. God called you, chose you in Him in eternity. He did not choose you to fail. We walk through this life by His grace, His word, and the power of another, meaning the Holy Spirit of God. And what is our calling, that high calling, that divine calling? Well, to manifest Jesus Christ upon this earth. He's the head. We're His body. In other words, what Jesus did in His earthly ministry, we continue His spiritual ministry through us, the head of the church. We're the arms and the hands and the eyes and the mouth of our Lord. We're the only Jesus that this world's ever going to see. It says in 1 John 2:6, it says, He who says that he abides in Him, meaning in Christ, ought to walk even as He walked. Colossians 1:10 says that you walk worthy, that perfect set of balanced scales, that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, or as Phillips' translation says, fully bringing joy to His heart, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So what is that worthy walk? Listen to the Amplified version. Paul says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. I beg you to walk. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you've been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Phillips' translation I really like. He says, live lives worthy of your high calling. Okay, how do we do that? What are the ingredients to a worthy walk? What is a worthy walk? Here it comes. The first step, the very first thing that we must do, watch this, it says, walk worthy of our calling, how? With all lowliness. William's translation says, with perfect humility. So what is a worthy walk? Man, the first step, the very first thing that we have to do is have lowliness in our lives. May I say something to you? Now listen, this number one, this first step that we take, it is the most important step because it lays the foundation for what is to follow, loved one. In other words, without lowliness, you're not going to walk in a spirit of gentleness. Without lowliness, there's not going to be any long suffering. Without lowliness of mind, there is not ever, will never bear with one another in love, nor will we have unity. So the first step to a worthy walk, a balanced walk, lowliness. If you don't have lowliness, you're not walking. You're not walking. If you're not applying that, you're not walking. You're out of balance in your walk. So lowliness, what does it mean? Lowliness means lowliness or humility of mind. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or strife or conceit. That's thinking more of yourself than you should. But here it comes. But in lowliness of mind, it says, let each esteem others better than himself. That goes over big, doesn't it? What, you mean I'm going to go around esteeming others better than me? Well, what that really means is that, you know, the fact of the matter is, Christianity is what opened up the truth to where we are now others-centered, not self-centered. It's not about me. It's about following the Lord Jesus Christ. So lowliness of mind is to really, okay, where you have a true estimate of you, who you really are. Listen, you know your failings. I don't know. You don't know my failings. God knows. Come on. I tell you what, if you think, and I say this with love, the only reason we're worthy for anything is because God has made us worthy. Oh, listen, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We lived according to the world. Our mind and heart was numb to the things of Almighty God. Oh, no, man, listen. I tell you, when I look at that, I say, oh, God, man, what a mess. You saved a mess, and now he's getting it all cleaned up. Isn't God good? So that lowliness of mind, having that proper identity of self. As a matter of fact, it's not even, like, what did Paul say? I don't care who judges me. I don't even judge myself. He says, listen, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives. I died. When Jesus died, I died. I no longer live. And he says, but the life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus told us, if you want to follow me, what did he say to do? The very first thing he said, you're going to have to get rid of self. Deny yourself. That word means that you completely disown your own person. Deny yourself. Take up the cross daily and follow Jesus. That's what this word literally means, that lowliness of mind. When I really think about this scripture and all that God has done for us in 1, 2, and 3, the chapters before us, if that doesn't make you want to bow your head, if it doesn't make you want to bow your knees, well, loved one, that should displace all pride. Man, God has saved us, and look what a mess that we were. So the opposite of this humility is to be full of pride. It says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your older people, the elders. And yes, all of you, everyone, Christians, be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. That is lowliness. Be clothed. That's a perfect picture of Jesus in the upper room in John chapter 13 when he picked up a towel, he girded up himself, and he knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. In other words, he took the place of a slave. He took the lowest place. Listen, our garment should be one of lowliness and one of humility. It says that God resists the proud. Well, that's a bad word, resist. It means he declares war. He doesn't like pride. The devil, that was his problem, pride. No. He says, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you, or may exalt you in due time. When our Lord and Savior, when he was talking to the disciples in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, what did Jesus tell them? He says, oh, come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And listen to what he says. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. And the only place in the Bible where Jesus himself gives a description of himself, he says, for I'm gentle. I am lowly in heart. Man, the Son of God. Jesus is our perfect example. He came from heaven, from the throne to this lousy, stinking earth, loved one. He left paradise. He left perfect glory where angels worshiped him. Listen, he came here, born of a virgin, and placed in a feed trough, because there was no room for God in the inn. Loved one, Jesus became poor. I mean poor, that means he emptied, had nothing left, not his deity, but his life. Became poor that you might become rich. It says, if we'll take his yoke and his yoke, remember, not a yoke of bondage, but a yoke of following the Lord. And like the oxen, you put a yoke and you get right next to Jesus and you learn from him. We take it. And guess what happens? Then he teaches us about the lowliness of mind, the lowliness of heart. It is then we experience the heart of Christ himself, loved one. No, listen, we need that humility, that lowliness of heart.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill concludes this message on tomorrow's broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today. We pray that the rest of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.